You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of March 11th, 2015, and we are broadcasting live from the site of Bizarre Saturn Valley.
This just in, these people are freaks!
And I hate them.
Bomb them!
Thou shalt not suffer and Mr. Saturn to live.
Welcome back to the Experience Points podcast. I'm George Alvord.
My name is Scott Juster.
When we last left our brave hero, Ness, he had just discovered his friend Paula.
We
are here again, ladies and gentlemen, to talk about Earthbound.
Yep.
We are playing through the game, of course, going on a long-term debrief through the entire series. Like I said, when last we left, we had discovered Paula, saved her from the clutches of cultists.
Yep.
In this case, did they want to marry her? What exactly was the end of their plot?
I don't know. She was obviously powerful, so they were hiding her away.
The guy that was doing it, the like cultist.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
the main guy.
She was the only one. I mean, he'd like taken other people.
Yeah.
And made them cultists, but it was like just her in a jail cell.
Yeah.
And she's like a minor. I don't think any good can come of that. I think he probably wanted to marry her or something. Mr. Car Painter.
Yeah.
What a weird dude.
Yeah.
What a weird game.
What?
So, like we said last time, I have not played this game at all, so all of this is my first time experience. Mm-hmm. Scott has played this, and in this episode, we will be going all the way up to and a little bit into Saturn Valley.
Yeah.
Home of Mr. Saturn.
Yeah. Saturns.
Are there Yeah, they're all misters, I presume, right?
Yeah,
well,
so far.
We'll talk about the weird escape, but where should we start? So we have Paula.
Yeah.
We bring her back to Tucson.
Yeah. And you talk with her dad, who kind of, like all the adults, somewhat sadly lets her go on an adventure.
I have some things to say about her dad.
Okay, go for it.
This is weird. And we talked last time we did this debrief about parents as well. Mm-hmm. Paula's parents are super supportive.
Yeah.
They're all like, we knew Paula was special.
Yeah.
She's going to be great on the journey. Be brave. Mm-hmm. Paula, you can do this. All this kind of stuff, right? Really, really supportive in a way that Ness's parents aren't.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll get to Jeff. But also, Jeff's parents are fucking weird. I mean, am I wrong here? Did it seem like Paula's parents are far more supportive than all the other adult figures in the game?
I feel like maybe supportive is one way to put it, but also just Ness's parents are more distant.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they like your mom will if you call Ness's mom, she'll always talk him up and compliment him. But
then she finds an excuse to leave. She's like,
then, yes,
you caught me right before I went to the hairdresser.
Yeah. But I mean, there is a sense that Paula's parents understand what's happening in the world a little bit more than what Ness's parents do.
Like, they understand that
there's an evil alien. Because
they mention it, right? They're like, I guess is out there to get you. Sure.
Whereas Ness's parents kind of feel like Calvin's parents in Calvin and Hobbes, where they understand that their boy is, like, special and he has an active imagination, but they still think it's a fantasy.
Yeah.
Whereas Paula's parents seem to be bought into the reality.
Why is that? Like, do you think that there's something that they're trying to say about parents of young girls in particular?
I mean, maybe. I mean, if you want to read into it.
I do want to read into it.
You know,
that's what we're here for.
I mean, culturally speaking, it is, you know, the world is very complicated for young girls.
Yes.
And probably more dangerous if you want to just be straight up real about it.
Sure.
So, like, there could be a metaphor in there. There could just be another thing of, you know, different parents, maybe, you know, because again, going back to my huge theme about this game is like the contrast between the urban life and the suburban life and the rural life. Ness's parents are even outside of suburbia, you know,
right.
they're in an idyllic kind of meadow, basically.
Right. A bit more rural.
Yeah.
I did write one quote from Paula's dad that I thought was interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
He says, "Goodbye, Paula. Don't worry. I won't cry anymore."
Yeah. Anymore.
Why is her dad crying?
Well, because she was kidnapped, obviously. I mean, that was the one. But,
see, what's weird is, when I heard that line, I actually thought for a second that there was this weird story about the dad suffering from depression.
I mean, I think approximately 80% of the inhabitants of Earthbound are suffering from depression. Like,
sure. Well, there's like crazy bugs and hippies and stuff everywhere. I would be depressed.
That was one of the things. I think this is just a general theme in the game. When you talk to NPCs, a lot of them will be like, oh, I wanted this to happen, but instead I'm a salesperson. Or like, right. I used to be an adventurer like you.
Yeah. And then I took an arrow to the knee.
There is this overall melancholy feel through so much of this game. Mm-hmm. Like, this game is not at all afraid to talk about just being sad.
Yeah.
And I tweeted this picture the other day when I bought a postcard for some reason. I don't know what the postcard does, but I tried to use it and I looked at it and it said, you look at the postcard, it's not that attractive. You feel sad and empty. And then you just put it back into your inventory.
What if that's all it does? What if literally the whole postcard does?
It very well could. Who knows? Yeah. I don't know. But the point is, so few games just frankly talk about their characters being sad.
Yeah. Well, I mean, one of the status effects that you encounter more in this section is uncontrollable crying.
Yeah.
And it's weird. Like, so I think the people who give it to you, at least in this section, are ghosts, right? Mm-hmm. Like, ghosts will make you cry. Mm-hmm. It's pretty weird that that's a status effect. And the game is really unclear about what heals what status effects.
Yeah.
Like, you could look it up, but I think healing doesn't work. It works on colds, but it doesn't work on crying.
Yeah.
Because crying is not a health issue, it's a psychological issue.
Well, the other thing that will happen to you is it sounds like you haven't unlocked the second health spell.
Yeah, healing beta.
Yeah, so healing beta will heal more things, but there are at least the objects, like you need to buy certain types of objects to heal certain types of things.
Sure, yeah, but I mean, that concept though, right, of like one is a sort of physical ailment and one is a psychological ailment, right? Like, is healing beta like sexual healing? Is that what is it? You know, like there's all sorts of trauma, I guess, that you suffer when you're on an adventure.
Yeah.
One of them being crying. I this is also sort of a tangent related to status effects and Paula, but she has the ability to pray.
Yeah.
And sometimes praying can cause
uncontrollable crying. Yep.
What is like? I'm trying to. It's funny because I feel like everything is begging to either be ignored. This kind of feels like a Thomas Pynchon novel in a way, right?
Yeah.
Like things are either begging to be ignored because they're farcical.
Yep.
Or there's some hidden meaning in there, right? Mm-hmm. Like the fact that prayer heals everybody on your team is pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as an ability to actively use.
Yeah.
The idea that someone on your team, the only person on your team, in fact, can pray. Who she's praying to, we don't really know. But apparently Paula is religious in a way that the others are not. We haven't seen any churches in town.
Mm-hmm.
A church is not a thing.
So
it's kind of interesting that prayer is something that is actually helpful, but it can also cause melancholy and make your team start to cry.
Yep. Yeah.
What is it about religion? Like, I don't know. Is the creator of this game religious at all? In Japan, they're largely what? Buddhist?
Yeah, Shinto or something. Like, Shinto. I mean, like, it's hard to know. Again, the one of the reasons this game is so fascinating is that it is an Easterner's take on a Westerner's stereotype.
Oh, yeah, of course, right.
And so, like,
so maybe Americans pray. That's what it's saying.
I mean, statistically speaking, Americans do pray more than most other industrialized countries.
Right, and believe in the power of prayer.
Right, exactly. So there is a tangible result to prayer in a game about a weird mirror version of the West.
So why would you say that prayer could cause uncontrollable crying in the game? I mean, the way that I see it is it's sort of putting these kids into an existential crisis.
Yeah, I mean, or maybe there is just, it calls upon a power that is too much to even comprehend. Like, it overwhelms you. It could also heal you. Like, I mean, like, there's just
Paula
so
starts
many
speaking in tongues and flagellating herself in front of everybody.
Have you gotten homsick yet? Or do you call your mom regularly?
I call my mom all the time. Yeah. Man, good. I gotta call my mom.
That's another thing. Like,
well, J.K. Simmons told me to call my mom at the Oscars.
the sadness that, I mean, and it manifests as a status effect. If you get homesick, Ness will skip a turn in battle. Right. He'll just be like, oh, Ness thinks about his mom and, you know, gets a little sad or something.
Which is way worse, by the way, than crying.
Yeah.
Which makes you miss occasionally.
Yeah, at least you could still use magic or an item or something like that. But yeah, I mean, it's all part of that larger theme of melancholy that is around pretty much every part of this game.
Yeah. So weird.
It is. It is.
So weird.
So after you go through the cultists, you have a chance to do another dungeon. The dungeons are probably the least interesting part of the game, but from a mechanical perspective, how are you feeling? Are you still dying a lot? Are you still like...
It was a little rough when I first got Paula because she starts at level one, presumably, yep. and you have to work way up. The same goes for Jeff.
Yeah.
But thankfully, they distribute the experience points evenly.
Yep.
So when you kill something, she sort of catches up slowly but surely. The one thing that I think is punishing and has generally, I think is generally stopped in RPGs, is if a character is dead, they do not get experience
points. Yeah, that's rough.
It's rough because if you die in the middle of a dungeon and you have to work your way out, all of those kills are useless for that person.
Yeah.
And you're just creating a bigger divide between yourself and them.
Yep.
That's a little rough.
Yeah.
What I ended up doing is when I first got her and I saw that this was a thing, I'd go kill some things, go back, heal up, kill, heal, kill, heal, back and forth. So sort of always be in that point and sort of force that leveling process. The same went with Jeff when I eventually got Jeff.
There's definitely a very 1990s grind happening in this game.
Yeah.
Like, you have to do some fighting in order to get people up to an acceptable level, or else, you're right, they'll just get wiped out every battle, and it'll just be Ness being followed around by ghosts.
Yeah, which, by the way, I think it's really weird also that when your teammates die, they become angels.
Yeah. Yep.
That's pretty cool. I mean, it's pretty bizarre, because you're sort of followed around by this entity.
Yeah.
And presumably your friend is at the hospital because that's where you have to go and get them.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, it's very expensive to get them out.
Western healthcare, American healthcare.
It is, though. Like, that is. Like, I see that. I'm like, oh my God, like, hospitals are outrageous.
Yeah.
I don't think I want to be like getting my friends into these hospitals all the time.
Yeah.
The guy at the hospital that will cure your crying, or sometimes you're haunted, and a ghost will sort of follow you around and cause you to miss.
So annoying.
Really annoying.
Not only that, the ghost can kill you. Like, they can just solidify you, and then that's it. Yeah.
And they'll do damage to you as well. Like, oh, you took 1 point of damage as, like, an icy touch fools you.
Yeah.
And there's a guy in a hospital that you can pay to cure you, but he's some random shaman.
Yeah, he's like, well, he'll take the mushrooms, too.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Can you imagine going to the hospital, by the way, and having, like, a psychic be Scott, your aura is all off.
Well, we do live in Berkeley, so
that's true.
Yes, I can. That's actually covered by my HMO. Mushroom salesmen and exorcisms are in my health plan.
That's true. Yeah.
let's talk a little bit about when you go back to Tucson and you have to get the Runaway Five out of their exploitative deal that they're in with the club.
Yeah, also pretty weird that they're in this sort of indentured servitude to the club owner. Thankfully, some random guy gives you $10,000.
Yeah.
Yes. Random guy, fat water bills. At that point, I'm like, Ness, you should just go home, dude. Like, just take your cut.
You made it.
It's somebody else's job to defeat Gygus. Maybe in the post-apocalypse, this 10 grand will be worth 10 mil. We don't know. It's weird that they gave him $10,000.
And it's not only that wad of bills is an item. It's not, you can't spend that.
You can use it, though. And I think you just look at it and it's like, you can't do anything with it.
Yeah. One of the small little touches that I really like is when you go up to the promoter who's basically keeping this band, the Runaway Five, in this indentured position of having to play a show every night. Which, by the way, did you ever watch one of the shows?
I did. Yeah.
But it's, that's to me, it's amusing too, because you get into this more like blues and faux rock.
Yeah. I'll let you finish.
Yeah.
But I mean, regarding that scene too, there's one guy in the theater that's like, you're just going around talking to everybody. Mm-hmm. Stop talking to everybody, which is like super meta.
Yep. Yep.
And two, I don't know if you notice this, or I don't know if I'm going crazy, but when the what are they called? The Runaway Five. Mm-hmm. When the Runaway Five are on stage, there's actually six people on stage.
Yeah.
Who is that sixth person? When they leave, there's only five on the bus.
Yeah,
they just had like a temp. There's just
is the roadie.
Yeah, is he just the roadie? He's like the guitarist, or I don't know.
That, and I think, is it in the Runaway Five's cafe? Is it the same guy who was, or maybe this is in a later cafe where he's like, oh, I'm just a normal guy, but it's really nice of you to talk to me. Like, you know, I'm not really important or anything, but it's cool that you said hi.
Right.
Where it's like, oh, it's the RPG mechanic of you having to talk to every single random person on the
street.
Yeah,
exactly. It's the same thing, right? It's very much like they know already that that is the norm and that they're going to respond to it.
Yeah. But when you try to, you can pay off their debt, basically. So when you try to give the promoter some bills, I try to give him the wad of cash from across the table. And it said something like, oh, let me see that a bit closer. And then you have to walk around behind the counter and give it to him, and then he accepts it.
That's so weird.
There's no mechanical significance to that. It's just that you need to be closer to this sketchy dude to like hand him some wad of cash on a physical level. You can't give it to him across the table.
Yeah.
You have to go up to him and like pawn it to him.
Did you feel like you trusted these runaway five?
They were a little strange, but they seemed sad. You know?
But it's not like... What's that movie where the kid joins the...
Blues Brothers.
Nope. You're on a mission from God. No. Oh, God. What? It's the one where he goes on the bus with him. He's like a journalist for Rolling Stones, and he's like 16.
Oh, Almost Famous?
Almost Famous, yeah. Yes. Yeah. This isn't quite Almost Famous, right? Where you're like joining up on the tour.
They're a Greek god.
But it is pretty weird that you're willing to get on a bus with them.
Oh, yeah.
Out of town.
Yeah.
They don't say, hey, we can get you through that ghost village. It's just sort of assumed.
Well, I mean, some other characters in the town tell you that the ghosts seem to hate loud music right. and stuff. So,
and
yeah.
you're just rocking too hard on that bus.
Yeah.
That's weird stuff.
I think we found a theme.
It's weird. Well, I mean, again, I'm just always trying to think, like, is this something that's just in there randomly to be comical or to be like a sort of deus ex? Or is this some weird comment, right? Like, no one questions why there's ghosts in that tunnel. And when you go through it, you're not clearing the ghosts out either.
Nope. Like, you're just shoving them away.
The same theme comes up in the next town when it's full of zombies.
Yeah.
Like, who are these zombies? Are they just old familial dead people? Are they wandering around? Like, what's going on? I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think... going back to the theme of sadness, like the Runaway Five, like the fact that the ghosts are scared away by something that is happy and upbeat or whatever is it ties into the larger theme of the overall melancholy of the world.
Right.
Let's talk about the zombies for a second, though. Or, as you pointed out, the lack thereof.
Well, yeah, I mean, what's especially weird is in three, there are no zombies other than the two blocking your way in.
Yeah.
Everyone is talking about zombies. People are scared to go outside their house. I love the fact that I try to go into houses and they're just like, no, don't come in. Yeah. You might be a zombie. I can't open the door.
Yeah.
Where are all the zombies? Well, apparently they're waiting to ambush you in a hotel. That's where they're all at. And you do see a bunch of zombies later.
Mm-hmm. Isn't it so disturbing to get ambushed in the hotel?
Yes, it was really weird.
Because the hotels are usually a safe space. Like, you go there to restore your health, to save, to talk to your dad and mom.
Well, there's this weird, like, sudden noir scene where this guy is, like, watching this woman.
Yep.
And she's this, I mean, we've got a little picture up. She's, like, sort of a tall blonde in an almost sort of spy movie kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of unsettling because it feels like for a minute you're in a different game. And it ends up being a trap. But even after Threed, right, when you resolve everything, as far as I know... we don't know who that lady is or who that guy is who was watching them. Like, what is this deal? Like, the adults are, again, it's another adult, right, setting you up to be trapped by ghosts and zombies and like, zombie dogs and stuff for no apparent reason. And there's no explanation for it. And I don't know if, I think that's probably part of the theme, right? Is like these things that are happening that you don't know why and you just sort of have to deal with them.
Yeah.
And that's sort of what it is to be a kid anyway.
Yeah. The adults doing seemingly random or just inexplicable things.
Right.
And then you deal with the consequences.
I mean, I almost got the sense that it was almost like a... like she was almost playing the role of a prostitute and the guy watching her was a John.
Yeah.
And that you're sort of spying on what's going on in this weird way. And then it's a zombie trap. But it's not like that other stuff that you saw didn't exist or wasn't there.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, that's a well-established narrative. You know, the femme fatale lures someone in. It's a hotel. They get jumped. Like, but... it's in the context of it's happening to these children.
Yes.
So it's they make it fantastical enough to slightly remove it from the seediness of it.
Right.
But as an adult playing it, you're like, what the heck? That person just got like ambushed by a hooker and zombie pimps. Like, you know, like it's just, I see it with different eyes than I first saw it when I played it. And I see it with different eyes than I saw it when I played it again.
That's a good point.
A few years ago. Like, it's just, it's different as you get older and see this stuff.
Yeah. I mean, the town of Threed is especially interesting anyway, right? Like, you have this really large cemetery, which is probably about a third of the size of the town itself.
Yeah.
Right next to where it's at. It's clearly haunted. There's hella ghosts and stuff. Monsters and flies and trash cans and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
And then there's a circus tent. And if you go inside the circus tent... it's just a bunch of people standing around trying to stay away from zombies.
Like,
it's just kind of weird because it feels like the town has two trappings, right? One that is the aspect of this carnival town with the, you know, there's even cages and stuff in the south of town. And another is a zombie theme. And it just smashes the two together.
Yep.
And the circus elements never really pay out. And in the beginning, there's not a big payout of the zombie either.
Yeah.
Until you fight the sort of boss, which is a tent.
Yeah. You fight a haunted tent.
You fight a haunted tent. But, like, I mean, to some extent, carnivals are already sort of creepy environments. Yeah. So maybe that is a play on that.
Mm-hmm.
A sort of haphazard. Do carnivals exist in Japan? Like, is this something that...
I mean, festivals definitely do.
But roaming... I mean, because... In America, at least, there's that.
This was much of more like of a county fair,
type. Right? Roaming county fair kind of thing. That's when I was a kid, I got lost. I was like maybe 7 or 8, and I got lost in the county fair, and it was terrifying. Shit.
Did you follow this lady, and all of a sudden, some zombies came out?
I actually got kicked out of a flower exhibit for stealing quarters from a wishing fountain. Bad to the bone. No.
Oh man. Well, at least you didn't get thrown into a pitch black dungeon, which is what happened to the kids after they get trapped by the zombies.
True.
And that's when Paula starts using her psychic abilities to just randomly call another person named Jeff.
Someone that presumably she knows as though she's seen the future and knows she will be friends with this guy.
Well, kind of like what happened with Ness. Like, she was just putting out these calls to him. And she even says something like, oh, I know we've never met, but, you know, you need to help us and we're friends and all
I'm
that.
Yeah, calling our friend we've never met. Yeah. Paula is the true protagonist of this game.
Well, we haven't met everyone yet, so that'll be TBD.
Okay.
But this just drops you mid-action into Jeff, and you're now controlling this brand new character.
This is my favorite part of the game so far.
Yeah,
I have to say, because we don't see this in games anyway.
Yeah.
Where it will just jump to a whole nother storyline, a whole different character.
Yeah.
I mean, Jeff is doing his own thing in a whole new environment. He's in, an all-boys school. Mm-hmm. He's got his best buddy.
It's, like, kind of disturbingly somewhat like an orphanage.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't think about that.
Yeah.
It must be an orphanage. No.
I mean, it's a boys' school, but it's, like, a boarding school. But it's kind of, like...
Well, and we meet Jeff's dad.
Yeah. But before that, let's finish the thought on just jumping to a new character, because I like that.
I like that narrative twist quite a bit. Yeah. And it took me by surprise, and it almost reminded me of Chrono Trigger as well, when you lose Chrono for a while and you play as a different cast of characters. It almost felt like, and maybe it's the time period and maybe it's JRPGs, but there's a sort of willingness and a daringness to abandon the characters that we normally associate ourselves with as the protagonists and do something different. And that's become more and more rare, and it's something I really like.
Yeah.
And it's actually something that we see in the game Telltale's The Game of Thrones, where we're jumping between these characters, and there is no fixed sort of protagonist.
Mm-hmm.
I think that idea is really, really cool, and I dug this segment a lot.
It was I was thinking about Chrono Trigger when I was playing it. I was thinking about Game of Thrones, like you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
The other one is Metal Gear Solid 2, when all of a sudden, boom, Snake is gone, and you're riding for the rest of the game, basically. Yep. Like, so few games just drop you into another character.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Especially characters that... it almost feels like this could have been the start of its own game, right? You're getting a clarion call from someone that you've never met before, and you're coming to fruition, and he has all his counterparts. Like, Tony, his friend, who's seems kind of obsessed with him. Like, as though... What's so weird is Jeff is not a cool kid.
Yeah.
And you get that sense, right? He's a nerd.
He even says it, too.
Yeah.
We'll get to this point when we link back up with the rest of the characters, because I like that a lot.
He's wearing... Oh, right.
Yeah.
He's wearing glasses, right? But there's this other kid that looks up to him.
Yeah.
And I think the most poignant moment is when he sort of breaks out of the boys' school.
Yeah.
And his friend acts as a stepping stool, and then is like, you know, says something like, don't forget me or I'll never forget you.
Yeah.
But, like, good luck.
Yeah.
It's such this weird... His friend is sort of giving up and passing Jeff on to, like, these greater goals in a way that is actually really a really cool depiction of friendship in an environment that we haven't seen yet.
There is a sad but sweet finality to it.
Yes.
It's like all the other boys in the school / orphanage / boarding house are like, we probably will never see Jeff again.
Yeah. Yeah, they say that.
Yeah. I mean, this is it, you know, and you talk to your friend.
Jeff is going to die.
A new age hippie's gonna come out. this whole thing is, and you get kind of like a weird Rushmore vibe to it, like this weird quirky, like, you know, somewhat like somewhat upper crust, but still everyone is sad in a way. I like the vibe of all of this.
Yeah, for sure.
It also introduces Jeff's mechanical importance, which is he's a mechanic.
He's a mechanic.
Yeah.
He has no psi points.
Yeah.
So he can't do any magic. But what I also thought was weird is his weapon of choice is basically like a pistol.
Yeah.
He's a shooter.
Yeah.
That is not the same class you would normally associate with someone who's also really nerdy.
Yeah.
Like, I expected him to be an engineer. That Except makes sense.
Except Luca in Chrono Trigger has a ray gun that is essentially identical to Jeff's.
Oh, yeah,
and she's also the mechanic of the party.
Which game came first?
This game came out slightly before Chrono Trigger, I think.
But not enough to influence each other.
Probably not, but still, it's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're both the scientists of the group.
They are, yeah. Yeah. Well, and I'm not entirely sure. I'm still not sure how Jeff's stuff works.
Mm.
I have slept once and woke up, and it's like, while you were sleeping, yeah. Jeff fixed something.
Yeah.
Is that just, is this just random, or is this like key moments?
I guess I'll have to look it up, but what I try to do is put anything that you find that's broken in his inventory.
Oh,
and
okay.
then try to sleep, but it doesn't always work, so there must be some pattern to it, or maybe it's just random that I don't know.
For a while, I thought maybe it's just the number of times you sleep, and so yeah. I should invest. Oh, all I know is I'm probably going to sleep more mm-hmm. now at hotels, just knowing that this might be something that triggers
yeah.
His sort of science abilities.
And as you go on in the game, money is less of an issue because you're fighting more and more powerful enemies, and you get right. paid more for that.
Mad
Skrilla. Your dad is giving you more and more.
Dad, I don't need anything. I've got my own job.
Yeah. Let's talk about the southward journey.
Yes.
So you're still Jeff. Yep. You're trying to get to Paula and Ness any way you can, but you're clearly like really far north of them.
That monkey. I forgot about the monkey.
You meet a monkey.
Yep.
That accompanies you as a second party member.
Yes.
For a while.
Well, some random woman in the drugstore gives you the monkey in exchange mm-hmm. for gum.
Yeah. And then you give the monkey gum, who he starts chewing it and blowing bubbles and yes. stuff like that. Yeah. Yeah.
And there's exactly one place where blowing the bubbles is necessary to progress.
Yeah.
And I sort of did it already because it made sense.
Well, it's a couple places. You got
to
do it.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. You have to feed him to get
Nessie and then also to get the rope ladder.
Not Nessie. Tessie.
Sorry, Tessie. Yes. Yeah. But yeah, it's very scripted.
Right.
That's the only reason why you have it in your inventory. It's taking a precious slot in your inventory
right.
to do these scripted
events. I really hope the monkey comes back. I don't know. No spoilers. Again, don't let me know. But I hope the monkey comes back as a playable party member. At one point, I guess when you finally sort of are done with it, he sees a female monkey.
Yeah.
And you know she's female because she's wearing a bow.
Right.
And then they go off to have monkey sex, presumably.
So, and the monkey is, to me, it is such a comfort having a second party member, mm-hmm. even though the monkey's basically useless.
Sometimes the monkey will get lucky and do like 14 damage yeah. instead of one, but yeah.
Yeah, so you get to the point where you still need to make your way south, but there's a large body of water that is stopping you from doing so. But there's a bunch of people looking for Tessie, like a Loch Ness monster type creature.
Where the hell did this come from?
I don't know, the Cretaceous era? Like, I mean, it's you know, people are camped out, you're trying to figure out how to make it south, and then here you are.
Yeah, the monkey's like, oh, I got this.
Yeah.
Just give me some gum.
Yeah.
And then he sort of lands on Tessie, and you sort of cross the water.
Yeah.
Pretty weird.
I like that. I like the music of that, the whole scene.
Yeah.
It's so deliberate. Like, it kind of takes a while. You're just standing on Tessie, the monster, and she's just swimming you south.
She's like, doo-doo-doo.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it's just, there's so many times in this game. There's another time that you may not have gotten to yet, but it's in Saturn Valley, where there's like a extended time to reflect.
Interesting.
On the entire game so far. And these moments are sprinkled throughout the game where there's just like quiet periods of like, you just have to think about where you are and what you're doing. And I'm riding on a dinosaur right now to my friends that I've never met.
Yeah.
Interesting. Like,
that Tessie part too is, I mean, this area in particular and the next area as well are clear that you will be coming back.
Yeah.
Like there's a place in the cave that's like only Ness can interact with this.
Yep.
So you know you'll be coming back and it almost feels a little bit like a tour. Like you're riding Tessie to sort of look at the environment. It snows all of a sudden, which is a little strange. And you just figure, okay, you know, you're on your way. You're going to be joined up together. And then you'll sort of progress like normal, but now without Tessie. Or maybe you can use Tessie. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm taking a look at what we have to do before we get back.
You did fight a cave boy, by the way.
Yeah, those guys are ridiculous.
Yeah.
Super strong.
And then I never fought one again because I just avoided them.
Yeah, just run away from them. So Jeff meets his father before he gets back to Ness and Paula.
Yes.
Mr. and Donuts.
And Donuts.
Yeah.
And this is really weird.
Sorry, Doctor. Doctor.
Doctor and Donuts. Yeah,
excuse me.
He asks you, would you like a donut?
Yeah.
And I said, yes. And he's like, yeah, me too. That sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
Huh? What a jerk. This guy's such an asshole. Which makes sense because he abandoned his kid 10 years ago.
Yeah. It's just so poignant. They don't really know how to talk to each other. You can tell the doctor's kind of sad, but also is just doesn't really know how to interact.
It did feel like he was that sad. It felt like he sort of was...
Well, maybe absent-minded.
It felt kind of like he intentionally abandoned his son, wasn't expecting his son to show up, and now is kind of like pissed off that he's there. Like, oh, yeah. I don't owe you anything.
Right.
That's the mentality I got.
Like, yeah.
I thought this was probably the most biting depiction of a parent in the game.
Yeah.
And especially having given some thought to how Paula's dad was really supportive and emotionally connected,
mm-hmm.
this is an extreme. This is worse than Ness's dad,
yeah.
who just totally, I mean, he just completely abandoned Jeff, presumably sent him to a boarding school and then forgot he ever existed.
Right. Yeah. So... Take that, doctor.
That's super nice. That's great. I also noted that the dude has a Vita chamber in his office. There's like an object in there that's like, we'll heal you if you...
And donuts are Andrew Ryan.
Exactly. And then he gives you a UFO to ride.
Yeah.
Which is pretty cool. That's another, by the way, long sort of scene where you're sort of floating around on the...
Yep.
Even when you're hovering over Threed.
Yeah. And again, you're just kind of reflecting on what happened. You're seeing how this technology works. It's, I don't know, there's just a lot of quiet moments, mm-hmm. even if there's a lot of action happening
right.
in the game. But the UFO lets you get back to Ness and Paula. You crash through the dungeon, get back to them. And then you just kind of have to, like, Jeff kind of has to awkwardly introduce himself to the party, which I thought was one of my favorite parts where he just tells them, he's like, I'm not very strong or brave.
I'm kind of shy.
I'm nearsighted. But he said, but that's, quote, that's just the way I am.
Yes.
And then they, like, join up together.
Well,
as
no,
part.
So he asks you, do you want me to join you? And I said no, just to see what would happen. And it's actually what he said. He's like, oh, are you just joking?
Yeah.
Like, are you serious? And then I was like, yeah, no, dude, like, I'm kidding. And join me up. But it's kind of weird because, you know, Jeff is somewhat heroic in that first scene.
Yeah.
And he has that friend, Tony, who looks up to him. And you think, oh, Jeff is this kind of a surprisingly cool kid. And then as soon as he's around Ness,
mm-hmm.
it's like he becomes third string again.
Yeah.
And not only, like, narratively and thematically, because now you're back onto Ness's journey, but even mechanically. Like, he's not as leveled as the other two.
Yep.
He sort of has to, you know, come up. And
he's starting from where you started from, except that the game doesn't magically make him strong. Like, he's starting from zero.
It's pretty weird.
Yeah. So after that, you actually can kind of solve... Threed's problems.
Mm-hmm.
It's supernatural problems.
You fight a big scary tent.
Yeah, fight a big old tent. You use some zombie paper.
Yeah, which is weird because you can go in and talk to the zombies,
mm-hmm.
and they're mostly just like regular human beings.
Yeah.
Really inconvenienced to human beings.
Yeah, well, they all make jokes about, like, this is the worst part of their life, except that they're already dead or something like that.
Yeah.
Like,
I also thought it was interesting that the zombies will not come until you go to the hotel and sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was wandering around for a little while being like, I've used the sticky tape. I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Oh, man, I'm not really healthy. I'm going to go take a nap.
Yeah.
And then it sort of happened. Like, that idea of things happening without you sort of necessarily planning on it, I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Let's see what else we got. Cause I mean, at that point, Threed, Threed looks a lot better. Like you're able to actually, you know what? No, you have to fight the main boss of Threed. I forgot about that.
The mini barf.
Yeah. The mini barf.
Yeah. So I didn't know that was a main boss. I went down there, fought him, died, went back, killed him. Not too hard.
Yeah.
But that's like a weird kind of creepy place.
Yeah.
And there's also a place similarly that you could go into, I think in Jeff's area
mm-hmm.
that was also like that level of spooky.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of weird, colorful path.
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
Yeah. So that helps you fix up Threed.
Yep.
Breaks the spell a little bit. But for me, I just pushed on to meet Mr. Saturn and, mm-hmm. and the main event here, Saturn Valley.
Mr. Saturn.
But like, you thought the game was strange up until this point.
Yes.
Let me know what you thought about Saturn.
I mean, I've seen Saturn, so I knew he was in this game.
Yeah.
I thought it was just one weird pet creature.
Yeah.
It's a whole town.
Yeah.
I presume they're aliens, and they all have really weird ways of speak. Like the hand drawn lettering.
Yeah,
Was
I
want to
talk
bizarre.
About that a little bit because that it's one of the only games that I've ever seen do this.
Like hand drawn lettering.
Like make an accent by changing the font.
Yeah, Yeah.
You know?
I mean, that's not too uncommon in comic books.
Yeah, you'll exactly.
You'll
see, like,
you know, Loki will speak with sort of slanted font styling.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But it even makes it hard, the way that it's accented, it makes it hard to read, which simulates it being hard to understand and listen to.
Yeah, that's true. Well, because like some letters are capitalized, some of them are not. Yeah. There's like weird angles and tilts.
And not only that, their grammar is also weird too. So like, not only are you trying to read this thing, you're trying to place together, they kind of speak like Yoda or something. So you're like trying to translate it, you know? Like
yeah. Yeah, this weird little village of Mr. Saturn's. It's bizarre. And I sort of walk around and you get the sense that like maybe this is an important place. Like you need to meet these people.
Yeah.
And I haven't finished this Mr. Saturn area. So maybe there's something beyond this that is true. In fact, that Mr. Saturn is some sort of magical race of people that have been fighting Gygas forever. I also would not be surprised if this is just some weird like genetic mutant freak show.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
What are they? I mean, I would love to see the anatomy of a Mr. Saturn. Like, cut one open.
I tried to call the delivery service. Mm-hmm. What is it? Escargo.
Yeah.
Express to take some of my items that I was holding on to, and they couldn't find me. They're like, you must be in a really weird place because I don't know. I could not find
you.
Yeah.
Wow.
So like they can't find you when you're in Saturn Valley.
So maybe Saturn Valley is a sort of like the land that got away from time, you know? Yeah. It's like you're in a different dimension or something.
It's also so communal-like. Like, you can...
Yeah.
You get healed for free. You sleep for free.
Oh, yeah. It's great. When I was like, this is going to be my new hometown. This is awesome.
Yeah. It's a great place. It is a good... From a structural perspective, it is a good town to put in this point of the game because for grinding purposes, it's a cheap place to grind, and also the enemies are really strong around it.
Yes.
So you spend a lot of time doing a couple fights. You're not worried about using all of your MP up because you could just go back and sleep. Like, it's from a game design perspective, it's a smart place to put this town, like, in the game.
Totally.
Yeah.
I also think it's interesting that they have... So these guys have no arms, yet they have a ton of ladders and ropes. I think that's really weird. They do have phones and ATM machines.
They do.
But, like, sometimes they're
freakish looking.
At the top. Like, at one point, there's a present that you can find, but it's at the top of a ladder.
Yeah.
Things are just weirdly placed also.
Yeah. That doesn't tell you... It doesn't tell you anything about who they are, why they're there.
Yep.
Are they... Because they sell you something,
like,
so they're not...
Look at that ATM machine. It's like a weird shape, like a Saturn thing.
Yeah, it's like a Saturn-shaped, like, ATM guy that you take the money out of his mouth or whatever.
Great.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't explain much to you.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, like... For me, this is one of the strangest parts, because you could... Like you were telling me, you could buy something that you spent a lot of money on and you're not quite sure what it did.
Yeah, well, I mean, a bunch of things in the store are expensive. And so I bought like a horn because I figured maybe this is something that's really awesome, like a weapon. Mm-hmm. Turns out to revive your teammates, which is great. I'm sure I'll hold on to it. It's Phoenix Feather or Phoenix Down or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
But that was a lot of money to blow on an item that I had no idea what it was.
Yep.
Maybe I should not have done that in that respect.
You just call your dad. He'll give you some more money.
Yeah, there you go.
So you are now at the point where... You're trying to figure out what the next step is.
Yeah, and I'll probably struggle a little bit, I predict.
Yeah. There's some things that you have to do in Saturn Valley. And then there are, again, some unconventional types of mechanics that crop up around here, too. So
Monkey shows up again.
It'll be good to talk about, because you see some of the implications of maybe Saturn Valley isn't as isolated as you originally thought it was.
Mm. Why is Mr. Saturn so iconic? Like, why is he in Smash Brothers?
Because it's weird. I don't know. Well, here's the thing. I never played Mother 1 or 3, so I don't know if he's like the Moogle of the Earthbound series.
Oh, I see. Yeah, he could be in the other games.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good point.
I mean, also, he's just extremely strange. I mean, like, it's a bizarre character model.
Yeah, he almost seems like that dude from Ah, Real Monsters. Did you ever watch that show?
Because, like, the eyeballs and the hands, except he just has a huge nose. Like,
yeah, exactly, and he's really small.
Yeah. What else? We're pretty much at the end of where we got up to at this point. Any other like finishing thoughts? Where are you at right now? How are you feeling about Earthbound as a game?
You know, I'm really liking it, actually. I thought the Jeff stuff was really strong. Yeah. I thought that was cool. Yeah. I'm at a point now where I think you're right. The difficulty is sort of toned down.
Yeah.
Like, you know, I lost against that barf boss.
Yeah.
But only once, and it didn't feel like it was too exhausting. I didn't lose against the circus tent at all.
Yeah.
So it feels like I'm at a point where it's manageable. I now know, like, a decent strategy, right? Like, Paula's basically always praying for the most part. Jeff is, you know, doing his shooting thing. He has got a spy ability, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel strong. I feel like this is good. And I also feel like it's at a point now where it's gone so weird that I don't think I'm going to be too surprised. Oh, God, I probably should not have said that. I don't feel like I'm going to be too surprised by what they throw out because anything goes at this point. And I think that's kind of... It's kind of an exciting place to be. JRPGs in general, a lot of games have come to this point where it's pretty predictable. Like, oh, the king has kidnapped the princess. I got to go save her. Yeah. And one of my friends is going to betray me and one of these guys is going to die.
Yeah.
It's rare to be at a point in the game where I literally have no idea what could happen next, and that's totally fine.
Yeah. 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 Good. I'm glad because I feel like the early game is really hard in Earthbound.
Right.
And then when you get your friends, which again is a thematic thing, I think... It's more of a commentary on these kids have to band together and all of a sudden the game gets a little bit easier.
I would like to see more moments where they talk to one another. Like Chrono Trigger is really strong in the way that Chrono interacts with his friends and the friends interact with each other. You know, like you know, some of the characters will have scenes without Chrono in them at all.
Yeah, exactly.
And you'll see sort of like emotional growth and bonding between the two.
Yeah.
That is really, really strong in Chrono Trigger and you don't see it in here and maybe that's partly the point also. But
yeah.
I think that'd be something I would have liked to see.
Nice. Well, I'm looking forward to the next step of Saturn Valley because there's a cool part in it.
We've got more to go, ladies and gentlemen.
We'll make sure to clue people in. I feel like probably after this, we'll be past Foreside. The game speeds up a little bit after this, so we'll make sure to clue you in. But you know, to keep you on the same page. As we are. But in the meantime, I'd welcome any comments, questions, or anything. experiencepoints@gmail.com.
And experiencepoints.net is our Saturn Valley. We have a little village there.
Free healthcare.
ATM for, oh, God, I wish. We do have ATM machines
here. We do,
We'll just give you cash in exchange for... What, just calling in? Yeah, horns. Yeah. I love, by the way, how efficient it is to buy things, immediately equip it, and then sell the old thing.
Yeah.
A+ video game.
Even games today don't do that.
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. Give us a review if you like these. iTunes and Stitcher helps us find new listeners. And again, comment down. Let us know your thoughts about Earthbound as we play it.
Yep. All right. Until next week, everyone. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
So long.
Every time.